I want to pick up the theme again of the names for Jesus and the names for God. I've been on this theme now for about six different messages. This might be the last one for a few years, and it's an important one. Yahweh Nissi, N-I-S-S-I in the original language. And the first thing I want to think about is every time I do this, this is a name for God. Every time I do this, I feel I need to mention what Yahweh is. You know, there was a name in the Hebrew for God. It meant, it was pronounced Elohim. But the name of God was so sacred, and they knew that God had given a command about his name. Do not take the name of God in vain. And I think about our culture today, how we misuse the name of God, the cursing, the swearing, and in literature and in movies, the carelessness that we have with the name of God. It was so sacred to the Hebrew people that they would not pronounce it. And when they were reading the scriptures or reading something about God, and they came to the word Elohim, they would not pronounce it because it was so sacred to them. They didn't want to ever say it in their entire life because that would mean maybe some other time when they hit their finger with a hammer or something like that, that name would slip out because they had said it before and they didn't want that to happen. So they created a whole new word in Hebrew called Yahweh. And whenever they said Yahweh, it meant Elohim, but it was so sacred to them, they didn't want to ever be careless with it or misuse it. And so when you say Yahweh Nissi, it's using that phrase again, the Almighty God, Yahweh Elohim. And then Nissi means, it's kind of hard to translate, but we've translated this morning in our text here, we've called it banner. Some people would call it a cross. Some people, I think, they used to call them placards. There would be always in front of any army, there would be somebody holding up that banner or holding up the cross. I think of Constantine, for instance. Whenever he went into battle, they always had the image of the cross. You remember he claimed to have a vision of the cross, and he took it as a sign from God, so whenever they would march into battle with their army, they would have the image of the cross. A beautiful symbol, beautiful, beautiful symbol. We are Christians. We are the people of Jesus Christ. And so there was always some placard or banner. Now, I want to take us to the Old Testament here, where this word appears, where this name for God appears. And I've given you one reference there. I'm going to cite two of them, but I gave you one to look at there. And it is the awareness that God is our leader. We march in his name. He is the one who protects us and takes care of us. Now, the situation, the people had just left Israel, and they were on their way to the promised land, so they were crossing the desert. And there were many enemy armies that the Jewish people had there to fight against. In fact, in most cities, they had an army, and they would come out and fight. And one of the most ruthless of these were the Amalekites. When you read in the Old Testament, the Amalekites were always attacking the Israelites. And that was the case here. They had just gotten out of Egypt, and they're beginning to cross the desert, and who comes after them but the Amalekites? And they knew this is going to be a battle because they were ruthless, very, very strong army. And so Joshua, who was with Moses, Joshua was kind of like the military guy. Moses was more like the spokesman. And so they saw the Amalekites were coming, and so Moses told Joshua, take the army and go out to meet them, and while you're out there, I will be up in the mountain praying to God. I will ask God for our deliverance from the Amalekites. And so that was the arrangement. So Moses took a banner, and that's where this word comes in, Nisi, took a staff. Apparently, he must have had it would be like a large rod or a large cane, a large staff, and they called it the staff of God. In other words, it was a symbol. You know, they used the Ark of the Covenant that way too. You remember whenever they went into battle, they always had the men carrying the Ark of the Covenant right at the head of the army. And whenever they moved from one place to another, the Ark of the Covenant was always there. Always a symbol and a reminder of God's presence, because in that ark were some very precious things that reminded them of the power of their God. For instance, parts of the Ten Commandments were in there, the slabs that Moses had brought down from the mountain. Also, the budding rod of Aaron was in there that they had seen miraculously used, that God was with them. Also, some manna was in there. You remember how they were fed during the days that they were in the desert. Pieces, portions of manna were in there to remind them and so on. So there was always the reminder, our God is with us, and we parade that fact. We put that up front. We are the people of God. So they went to battle, and interestingly enough, while Moses had his hands in the air, the Israelite army was victorious, and they would win scrimmages, and they were making progress. The minute he became tired and let his hands down and wasn't holding up the staff of God, then the Amalekites would begin winning and drive them back again, and Joshua began to see this. My goodness, you mean when Moses stops praying and stopping holding up the staff of God, the banner of God, when he's doing this, we're winning. When he doesn't, we're losing. And so this scrimmage is going on, and so they decide they better do something about this. And so a couple guys went there, up where Moses was. They rolled a big stone over here. Sit down, Moses. Sit down and rest. You know, I when I think of this, I think of an incident in my life. It was a year before I graduated from the seminary. And the reason I remember that very clearly. I was challenged. You know, in those days, the basketball team and other, you challenge one another. I'm kind of embarrassed by the fact, because I tell my grandsons now, don't take challenges. Somebody says you can drink four beers in a row, we bet you can't. You know, don't accept stupid challenges like that. But I guess when you're young, you don't have enough sense to say, forget it, it's not important. And I can remember I was challenged. You know, we all thought we were kind of leaders. You know how that goes when you're a teenager. Well, even in your early 20s. And I can remember the record that had been set by anybody. You know, it's difficult to keep your hands upright. I think of this when I think of Moses up there. Maybe he had been up there 5 or 6 hours. You can't hold your hands like this for 5 or 6 hours. I'll challenge you to do that. You can't do that. You can't. And so I remember we all thought we were pretty strong. In fact, back in those days, I was a gold rush boxer. Pretty big guy to tangle with, and nobody looked cross-eyed at me. fiery serpents that are killing people. They're poisonous. And so he erects on a cross a bronze. Douglas and I were just talking about this. I believe the word is bronze, not brass. You can double check it. It's in the book of Numbers. And they raise it up, and the message went out, anyone who looks to this image will not die. It's very clearly a preview of the time when Jesus Christ is going to be put on the cross. Anyone that looks to him will be saved. You see how the Old Testament prepares the people for this, that there's a Savior coming. Now here's this image of a bronze serpent on a pole. We would say Nisi on a banner, on a cross. And indeed, the people that looked to it did not die. So you have these illustrations of this concept, this word. Now let's apply this to ourselves. Maybe today you're feeling really great and everything is fine. Well, you know enough about life. And I always say if you're at least 20 or a little older, in a teenage, I don't know. You know, every teenager thinks, well, you know, they can conquer anything, they can do anything, and so on. Well, it takes a few more years and you realize there's a lot of trouble in life. It was shocking. Maybe most of you haven't even heard this yet, that Dave Krupczak fell. You know, we're having too many people fall. Stop falling, people. It's very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Dave Krupczak and his family on vacation, he missed, apparently, I had to talk to him sometime, find out just what happened, but he broke his foot in 7 places. Wow, there's 2 plates in there now and a bunch of screws and other things. They told him he couldn't put any pressure on it. His wife doesn't do a lot of driving, so I don't know what they're doing. But the pressure on his foot, he can't put any pressure on it for 7 weeks. So they have kind of an extended vacation, it looks like there. But that's a terrible way to do it, isn't it? And, the whole concept of God being the statement that you're making to the world, He is the one that is in charge of our life. He is the one that we march behind. He precedes us. He leads us. Now, I want to get to the point that there's trouble in our lives. Now, maybe not for you today, but it'll come. If you continue to live, something will happen. You'll get sick or you'll fall or who knows what. And the point I want to make clear this morning is whenever you do battle with Satan, maybe you're having a problem with your kids. Maybe a marital problem, maybe a financial problem. We were just talking about the state of Wisconsin. What a mess the state of Wisconsin is in. Just talking to someone before the service. It's almost impossible if you get involved with politics and with the church and with living, you're going to have battles. And the point this morning is, regardless what the battle is, regardless how the enemy, Satan, presents himself, if he's challenging you and your faith, make sure the staff of God, make sure the banner of Almighty God, Yahweh Nissi, is always what you're following, always what you line up behind, because he is the only hope, the only salvation, the only forgiveness, and the only victory. One more thing about this text. The fact that the battle went back and forth. Isn't that kind of the way life is? You know, you kind of think as though you're making progress financially or morally or whatever the situation is. and then, you know, up and down, up and down. Isn't that kind of the way life goes? And the thing that I take from this text is you can't ever let yourself get tired spiritually. Now, who's going to be your Aaron and your Hur, H-U-R? Who's going to be the two guys that hold up your hands? That's the value in any church setting of prayer circles, the little organizations that do things, the praise band, the any group of Christians. That's why you should be involved in some way, not just worshiping, but in prayer groups, in Bible study groups. A chance again this morning to attend a Bible class, get to know others at your table, so that when those times come and you're in a battle, you have an illness, or you have a death in the family, or you have a problem with the kids, or you have whatever, you're out of work, whatever it might be, you have others that can help hold up your hands and hold up the banner. That's the marvelous thing about fellow Christians and people that pray for one another. Isn't that beautiful? So remember that and make it a practice to carry the banner of God forward. We march for a victorious God. Amen.